السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله أكبر الله أكبر
الله إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ومن شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. أيها الناس، يقول مولانا الكريم في كتابه الكريم في سياق وصفه للمؤمنين في سورة الفرقان، قال: والذين لا يشهدون الزور وإذا مروا باللغو مروا كراما. أيها المسلمون، في مثل هذا اليوم من كل عام قضية تثار ورأي يطرح وسؤال يرفع إلى أهل العلم أو من يظن أنه منهم، وهو: ما حكم تهنئة النصارى بعيد الكريسماس كما يسمونه هم، أو عيد رأس السنة الميلادية؟ ويأتي الجواب متباينا تباين الظلمة والنور والليل والنهار، ذلك أن جواب العلماء الأبرار يأتي أبلج كضوء النهار، وأما جواب الجهال الأغمار فيأتي مظلما كظلمة ليل داج، لأنه ما جاء إلا من جاهل يتقن فن الكلام ويظن نفسه شيخ الإسلام. أيها المسلمون، ليعلم أنه لا يجوز لأحد من المسلمين مشاركة أهل الكتاب باحتفالاتهم بما يسمونه عيد الكريسماس أو عيد رأس السنة الميلادية أو عيد الفصح أو غير ذلك من أعيادهم، ولا تجوز تهنئتهم بهذه المناسبات، لأن العيد من جنس أعمالهم التي هي دينهم الخاص بهم أو شعار دينهم الباطل، لأن الله تبارك وتعالى يقول مزكيا لمن كان مؤمنا والذين لا يشهدون الزور وإذا مروا باللغو مروا كراما. وإليك أيها المسلم أقوال أهل العلم بالتفسير في معنى هذه الآية. يقول مجاهد بن جبر في تفسيرها: إنها أعياد المشركين. وكذلك قال مثله الربيع بن أنس والقاضي أبو يعلى الموصلي والضحاك بن مخلد النبيل رحم الله الجميع، وقال ابن سيرين رحمه الله رحمة واسعة: الزور والشعانين، والشعانين عيد للنصارى يقيمونه يوم الأحد الأسبق لعيد الفصح، ويحتفلون بحمل السعف ويزعمون أن ذلك ذكرى لدخول المسيح بيت المقدس. ذكر ذلك شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية كما في كتاب اقتضاء الصراط المستقيم. ومجرد الحضور أيها المسلمون، مجرد الحضور محرم، لأن الله امتدح المؤمنين لكونهم لا يشهدون الزور الذي هو عمل الزور. لا مجرد برؤية أو سماع، هذا بمجرد الرؤية أو السماع، فكيف بالموافقة بما يزيد على ذلك من العمل الذي هو من مثل شهوده وحضوره وتبريكاته لهم وربما إهدائه لهم الهدايا فيه. وقد جاء النهي عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن مشاركة الكافرين في أعيادهم، فمنها حديث أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: قدم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم المدينة وللناس يومان يلعبون فيهما، فسأل قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: ما هذان اليومان؟ قالوا: كنا نلعب فيهما في الجاهلية. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: قد أبدلكم الله بهما خيرا منهما، يوم الأضحى ويوم الفطر. رواه النسائي وأبو داود وأحمد على شرط مسلم. والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لم يقرهما، بل ولا ترك الصحابة يلعبون فيهما على ما جرت به العادة طوال سنين عمرهم، حين أن كانوا يعيشون مع الكفار كفارا مثلهم، حتى جاء الإسلام فأبطل هذه الأعمال. بل قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن الله قد أبدلكما بيومين خيرا منهما. والإبدال من الشيء يقتضي ترك المبدل منه، إذ لا يجمع بين المبدل والمبدل منه. وقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم خيرا منهما يقتضي الاعتياض بما شرع لنا، عما كان في الجاهلية، بل لما أخبره صلى الله عليه وسلم رجلا أنه نذر أن يذبح إبلا ببوانة وهي عظبة من وراء ينبع قريبة من ساحل البحر، قال له صلى الله عليه وسلم مستقصيا حقيقة ذلك المكان، هل كان فيها رسل من أوثان الجاهلية يعبد؟ قالوا لا. قالت فهل كان فيها عيد من أعيادهم؟ قالوا لا. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أوف بنذرك فإنه لا وفاء لنذر في معصية الله ولا فيما لا يملك ابن آدم. رواه أبو داود وإسناده على شرطهما. أيها المسلمون، لقد دل الحديث على أن الوصف سبب الحكم، فيكون سبب الوفاء سبب الأمر، فيكون سبب الأمر بالوفاء خلو المكان عن هذين الوصفين. فلو كان في ذلك المكان الذي نذر الرجل أن ينحر فيه إبله، لو كان فيه وثن يعبد من دون الله، أو كان مكانا يعتاده المشركون، لمنعه صلى الله عليه وسلم ولم استفصل منه عن نيته، بل ولم يستفصل هو صلى الله عليه وسلم من الرجل عن نيته، كما يزعم البعض أنه ليس من نيتنا إقرارهم على أعيادهم. هذا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لم يستفصل من الرجل عن نيته، ولكنه استفصل منه عن ذلك المكان. قال شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله: العيد اسم لما يعود من الاجتماع العام على وجه معتاد، عائد إما بعود السنة أو الشهر أو الأسبوع. فالعيد يجمع أمورا، منها يوم عائد كيوم الفطر والجمعة ويوم الجمعة والأضحى، ومنها اجتماع فيه، ومنها أعمال تتبع أو أعمال تتبع ذلك من العبادات والعادات. وقد يختص العيد بمكان بعينه، وقد يكون مطلقا وفيه استفصال المفتي إذا احتاج إلى ذلك، والمنع من الوفاء بالنذر بمكان عيد من أعياد الجاهلية ولو بعد زوال ذلك المكان من أجله. وفي هذا الحديث سد للذريعة وترك مشابهة المشركين والمنع مما هو وسيلة إلى ذلك. ومما هو معلوم أيها الناس، مما هو معلوم من السير، أن اليهود والنصارى ما زالوا في أمصار المسلمين يفعلون أعيادهم التي هي لهم، ومع ذلك لم يكن في عهد السلف من المسلمين من يشركهم في شيء من ذلك. وكذلك ما فعله عمر في شروطه مع أهل الذمة التي اتفق عليها الصحابة وسائر الفقهاء بعدهم، أن أهل الذمة من أهل الكتاب لا يظهرون أعيادهم في دار الإسلام، وإنما كان ذلك الاتفاق على منعهم من إظهارهم من إظهار أعيادهم، فكيف يسوغ للمسلمين فعلها؟ أوليس فعل المسلم لها أشد من إظهار الكافر لها؟ بلى والله. وقد قال عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه في وقايته لهذه الشريعة بما جاء فيها من عبادات وبما يكفل بقاءها من اللسان العربي، وهو الخبير الخريت، قال: إياكم ورطانة الأعاجم وأن تدخلوا على المشركين يوم عيدهم في كنائسهم فإن السخطة تتنزل عليهم. رواه أبو الشيخ الأصمعاني والبيهقي بإسناد صحيح. وقال الإمام ابن تيمية رحمه الله: وهذا عمر نهى عن تعلم لسانهم وعن مجرد دخول الكنيسة عليهم يوم عيدهم، فكيف بفعل بعض أفعالهم أو فعل ما هو من مقتضيات دينهم؟ أليست موافقتهم في العمل أعظم من الموافقة في اللغة؟ أوليس عمل بعض أعمال عيدهم أعظم من مجرد الدخول عليهم في عيدهم؟ وإذا كان السخط ينزل عليهم يوم عيدهم بسبب عملهم هم، فمن يشركهم في العمل أو بعضه أليس قد تعرض لعقوبة ذلك؟ ثم قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم، ثم قوله رضي الله تعالى عنه: واجتنبوا أعداء الله في عيدهم، أليس نهيا عن لقائهم والاجتماع بهم فيه؟ فكيف عن عمل عيدهم من قبل المسلمين؟ انتهى كلامه رحمه الله تعالى من كتاب اقتضاء الصراط المستقيم. فاتقوا الله عباد الله، اتقوا الله في دينكم الذي ائتمنكم عليه، وقوموا بما اوجبه عليكم من مخالفة الكافرين يعززكم ويعلي شأنكم ويظهر قوتكم وعزكم على الخلق اجمعين. اقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله العظيم الجليل لي ولكم من كل ذنب فاستغفروه انه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله العزيز المعز لمن والاه، القوي القادر القاهر المذل لمن عانده وعصاه، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على محمد رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبع هداه إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فيا عباد الله، إن الأعياد من جملة الشرع والمناهج والمناسك التي قال الله تعالى فيها: لكل جعلنا منكم شرعة ومنهاجا. قال شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله: فلا فرق بين مشاركة في العيد وبين مشاركة في سائر المناهج، فإن الموافقة في جميع العيد موافقة في الكفر، والموافقة في بعض فروعه موافقة في بعض شعب الكفر، بل إن الأعياد من أخص ما تتميز به الشرائع ومن أظهر ما لها من الشعائر، فالموافقة فيها موافقة في أخص شرائع الكفر وأظهر شعائره، ولا ريب أن الموافقة في هذا قد تنتهي إلى الكفر في الجملة بشروطه. انتهى كلامه رحمه الله. وقال في موضع آخر أيضا: ثم إن عيدهم من الدين الملعون هو وأهله، فموافقتهم فيه موافقة فيما يتميزون به من أسباب سخط الله وعقابه، وذلك لقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن الله نظر إلى أهل الأرض فمقتهم عربهم وعجلهم إلا بقايا من أهل الكتاب الذين بقوا على ما تركهم عليه أنبياؤهم حتى بعث محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، فلا والله ليس مجال لأحد كائنا من كان على تقوى وورع ولو كان يستمسك بالكتاب الذي أرسل به موسى أو عيسى على الحق، لا والله لن يدخل الجنة ولن يرضى عنه الله إلا أن يتبع محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، لأن الله عز وجل قد قال: وأرسلناك للناس جميعا. وهو صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول وهو صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول: بعث كل نبي الى امته وبعثت الى الاحمر والاسود. ويقول صلى الله عليه وسلم: والذي نفسي بيده لا يسمع بي احد من اهل هذه الامه ثم لا يؤمن بي الا يهوديا كان او نصرانيا الا ادخله الله النار. ومن المعلوم ايها الناس انه اذا سوغ فعل القليل من ذلك اي من اديانهم ادى الى فعل الكثير، ثم اذا اشتغل الشيء دخل فيه عوام المسلمين، دخل فيه عوام الناس وتناسوا اصله حتى يصير عادة للناس بل عيدا لهم، حتى يضاهي بعيد الله، حتى يضاهى بعيد الله، بل قد يزيد عليه حتى يكاد ان يقضي الى موت الاسلام وحياة الكفر. وليعلم علم اليقين انه لا يجوز للمسلم مشاركة اهل الكتاب في اعيادهم لما تقدم من ادلة الكتاب والسنة والاجماع، كما لا يجوز تهنئتهم باعيادهم لانها من خصائص دينهم ومناهجهم الباطلة. قال الامام ابن القيم رحمه الله: واما التهنئة بشعائر الكفر المختصة به فحرام بالاتفاق، مثل ان يهنئهم باعيادهم وصومهم فيقول عيدكم مبارك عليك، عيد مبارك عليك، او تهنأ بهذا العيد ونحوه من عبارات التهنئة، فهذا ان سلم قائله من الكفر فهو من المحرمات، وهو بمنزلة ان يهنئه بسجوده للصليب، بل ذلك اعظم اثما عند الله واشد مقتا من التهنئة بشرب الخمر وقتل النفس وارتكاب الفرج الحرام ونحوه. وكثير مما لا قدر للدين عنده يقع في ذلك ولا يدري قفعل. فمن هنأ عبدا بمعصية او بدعة او كفر فقد تعرض لمقت الله وسخطه. انتهى كلامه رحمه الله كما في احكام اهل الذمة. فان قال قائل: ان اهل الكتاب يهنئوننا باعيادنا فكيف لا نهنئهم باعيادهم معاملة بالمثل وردا للتحية واظهارا لسماحة الاسلام، الى اخر ما يقال في تبرير هذه الجريمة الشنعاء. فالجواب ان يقال: ان هنئونا باعيادنا فلا يجوز ان نهنئهم باعيادهم لوجود الفارق، فاعيادنا حق من ديننا الحق بخلاف اعيادهم الباطلة التي هي من دينهم الباطل. فان هنئونا على الحق فلن نهنئهم على الباطل. ثم ان اعيادهم لا تنفك عن المعصية والمنكر، واعظم ذلك تعظيمهم للصليب واشراكهم بالله تعالى. وهل هناك شرك اعظم من دعوتهم لعيسى عليه السلام بانه اله او ابن اله؟ تعالى الله عما يقولون علوا كبيرا. اضافة الى ما يقع في احتفالاتهم باعيادهم من هتك للاعراض واقتراب للفواحش وشرب للمسكرات ولهو ومجون مما هو موجب لسخط الله ومقته، فهل يليق بالمسلم الموحد بالله رب العالمين ان يشارك او يهنئ هؤلاء الضالين بهذه المناسبة؟ سبحانك ربي، هذا بهتان عظيم. عباد الله، قد قلت ما قلت، فان كان من صواب فمن الله وحده، وان كان من خطأ فمن نفسي ومن الشيطان. فاستغفر الله ليلا ونهارا، يرسل السماء عليكم مدرارا ويجعل لكم جنات ويجعل لكم انهارا. اللهم انا نسألك ان ترزقنا توقير دينك وشعائرك وشرائعك. اللهم انا نسألك ان تجعلنا اعزاء بديننا. اللهم انا نسألك ان تملأ قلوبنا بدينك يا ربنا. اللهم اجعلنا ممن عظم شعائرك وعظم حرماتك ولم يتجرأ عليها ولم ينتهكها. اللهم اجعلنا ممن عرف الحق فاتبعه وعرف الباطل فاجتنبه. اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى. اللهم يا مالك الملك يا قوي يا عزيز يا غني يا كريم يا رحمن يا رحيم، أم على ولي أمرنا خادم الحرمين الشريفين الملك عبد الله بن عبد العزيز بالشفاء التام، وأعده لبلاد الإسلام بلاد الحرمين ليحمي حماها ويحفظ دينها ويعز أهلها. اللهم أعزز به الإسلام وأعزه بالإسلام. اللهم اجعله وإخوانه وأعوانه بخرة للإسلام والمسلمين وشوكة في حنوق المنافقين والكافرين، واجعلهم غيظ قلوبهم يا رب العالمين. اللهم إنا نسألك وأنت الله الذي لا إله إلا هو العظيم القدير الجليل أن تغيث بلادنا يا رب العالمين. اللهم أغثنا اللهم أغثنا اللهم أغثنا اللهم غيثا مغيثا سحا طبقا غدقا مجللا. اللهم نافعا غير ضار. اللهم اجعله على رؤوس الجبال وبطون الأودية ومنابت الزرع. اللهم احي به البلاد واجعله بلاغا للحاضر والباد برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين. اللهم واغث قلوبنا بالإيمان يا رب العالمين. اللهم اصلح ولاة جميع ولاة امور المسلمين واجعلهم رحمة لرعاياهم. اللهم ردهم الى الحق ردا جميلا، واجعلهم يحكمون شرعك ويتبعون هدي نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، انك على كل شيء قدير. اعلموا عباد الله ان خير ما تفعلون من دينكم بعد الشهادتين الصلاة، فقوموا الى صلاتكم واقبلوا على ربكم وسلوه ان يهديكم ويثبت اقدامكم، وصلوا وسلموا على رسولكم، والله ذو الفضل العظيم.
الله أكبر الله أكبر، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح، قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر الله أكبر، لا
استووا اعتدلوا تراصوا تقاربوا تناظروا سدوا الخلل حادوا بين المناكب والاقدام لا تدعوا الغريات للشيطان. الله اكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. تبارك الذي جعل في السماء بروجا وجعل فيها سراجا وقمرا منيرا، وهو الذي جعل الليل والنهار خلفة لمن أراد أن يذكر أو أراد شكورا، وعباد الرحمن الذين يمشون على الأرض عونا وإذا خاطبهم الجاهلون قالوا سلاما والذين يبيتون لربهم سجدا وقياما والذين يقولون ربنا اصرف عنا عذاب جهنم إن عذابها كان غراما إنها ساءت مستقرا ومقاما والذين إذا أنفقوا لم يسرفوا ولم يقتروا وكان بين ذلك قواما والذين لا يدعون مع الله إلها آخر ولا يقتلون النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق ولا يزنون ومن يفعل ذلك يلقى أثاما يضاعف له العذاب يوم القيامة ويخلد فيه مهانا إلا من تاب وآمن وعمل عملا صالحا فأولئك يبدل الله سيئاتهم حسنات وكان الله غفورا رحيما ومن تاب وعمل صالحا فإنه يتوب إلى الله متابا والذين لا يشهدون الزور وإذا مروا باللغو مروا كراما والذين إذا ذكروا بآيات ربهم لم يخروا عليها صما وعميانا والذين يقولون ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما أولئك يجزون الغرفة بما صبروا ويلقون فيها تحية وسلاما خالدين فيها حسنت مستقرا ومقاما قل ما يعبأ بكم ربي لولا دعاؤكم فقد كذبتم فسوف يكون لزاما. الله أكبر. يا الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم ملك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين قل يا أيها الكافرون لا أعبد ما تعبدون ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد ولا أنا عابد ما عبدتم ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد لكم دينكم ولي دين قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله أما بعد حياكم الله dear brothers and sisters to the translation of the khutbah of today which is titled by the warning of greeting the kuffar on their Eid occasions the like of Christmas and others I began the khutbah by khutbah al-haja and then I said oh people verily Allah our Lord says in his book as in the description of the believers as in Surah al-Furqan ayah 72 والذين لا يشهدون الزور وإذا مروا باللغو مروا كراما and they meaning the believers are the ones who do not witness the false and whenever they pass by the lagu and the lagu is the speech that has no benefit out of it they pass by people who have this type of speech as the kiram, the noble ones, meaning the angels, they do not stay by that because the angels never stay by anything which is non-beneficial, which is not pleasing Allah Ta'ala, unless if there are the angels who record what the person does. All Muslims, in this day, the 24th of December, from every year, there is an issue occurs in the whole world, and an opinion given to the Muslims, an unnecessary opinion given to the Muslims, and a question raised on this day, a question to the people of knowledge, or to others who, to the common ones, to the awam, they look like scholars. So they raise their questions to them. And the question is, what is the ruling on greeting the Christians for the Christmas, or in the Christmas? And the answer comes, and as also on the first day of the new year, and the answer comes from both type of people who were asked, as different as the difference between the darkness and light, and day and night. That is because the answer of the pious ulama, over Allah, comes as bright as the daylight, while those who are seen like ulama but they are ignorant, taking the stage of ulama by how they look, how they speak, how they wear, they try to convince the people that they are ulama, while they are not. The ulama know very well that these are not, these are only thieves. These are only thieves, blocking the roads for Muslims, robbing them their religion, not their money, and maybe their money too, because they also look for fame and dunya. So the answer comes completely different. As I said, the answer of the ulama comes as white, as bright as the light of the day. And the answer of those fake ulama, those who are fake ulama, or maybe they have ilm, but they do not work according to what their ilm guide to, and they give fatawa based on how it pleases the people, their answer comes as dark as the very dark night. That is because he is an ignorant, knowing how to speak very well, because they have, and today, in both, in all, the Arabic language speakers and the other language speakers, you find people speaking on behalf of Islam. They are so fluent in their languages, or in the other language that they speak with. Maybe they are English, so that they speak English, but not every English speaks so attractive language. Some people are given power in their speech. Is this the ilm? This is not the ilm. This is not the ilm. You see the ulama, some of them, they don't even, or most of them, don't even attract you in the speech. Because your ear is only attracted to the appearance of beauty of the speech. But the ear of students of knowledge, or anybody who seeks the truth, it is not so attracted to the appearance beauty, but it is attracted to the cool, to the knowledge. That's why they stop by these people, and I used to surprise when many people say to me, and I remember in one of the masajid that I was imam in, we put an audio library. Most of the tapes were Sheikh Ibn Baz, Sheikh Uthaymeen, Fawzan, and the like. One day one man came to me and he said that, well done you, well thing you've done by bringing an audio library, but you should choose the very attractive speakers so people can be attracted to the deen. I said, well, I brought them the most famous one, Ibn Baz. And he said, but Ibn Baz, people do not understand what he says. I said, yes, true. When Ibn Baz speaks to the Christians, definitely they don't understand what he says. When he speaks to the deaf, definitely they don't understand what he says. But when he speaks to the people who their hearts are chasing the truth, they will understand. They will understand. And depends on who you are. You tell me who you are, I tell you how much speech of the life of Ibn Baz you can understand. The judging of your understanding, yeah, depends on who you are. That's it. I can tell every one of you how much Muslim he can understand from the speech of the ulama. If you just tell me who you are, I can tell you that. When an English John comes to me and he says, I am English John, I would definitely say to him, you are on the wrong channel. You cannot understand Ibn Baz. Nor that you can understand Ibn Uthaymeen. Nor that you can understand Shireen or Sidis or Hudaybi when they recite in the Haram. Because it's something totally new to you. Totally new. The language is new. And the ilm itself is new. So you need to go and prepare. So people who are always attracted with the kuffar and what they have, and they are so amazed, oh Lord, what they are. Like if those people were found on earth before us millions of years. Unless if they were dinosaurs, I don't know. According to Darwin, possible. They were dinosaurs and then they are learned to be monkeys and then they became human. But I'm wondering why dinosaurs have dark skin and monkeys have dark skin, but Darwin and his people are white skin. How can this be? Why they did not remain with dark skin? Why they came to white skin? That surprises me. No? Only the others who came from outside the continent, from Africa, from Asia, from India, from Middle East, those are the different ones. But they and their children are white skinned. So how come Darwin, who his grandfather was a monkey one day in the zoo, he became a white skinned man? That's really making me surprise. But some people are so attracted to these people. Some Muslims, they think they are nothing. The Muslims are nothing. But these are the people, these are the ones. So they go and imitate them. And everything, trying only to please them. Like if the Muslims are going to give them their wealth. I don't know, I'm really surprised. I never come to know that they give you anything. So what for you please them? And they give you anything of this world, logic you try to please them, although it is haram, but something, logic you, one for one. But you know that you give one but you give zero, but you still give one? I don't know really. So I said, all Muslims, let us all know that it is not permissible for any Muslim to participate in the people of structures religious occasions, as what they call the Christmas or the New Year. It is not permissible to greet them for. It is not permissible to even join them, because the Eid, the celebration, is part of their deen. And subhanAllah, I really get confused when people say to me, we don't eat their meat. Why? Because they are not Christians no more. So why you are greeting them on the Christmas? The Christmas is only for those who say that they are Christians. They greet them, but when it comes to the meat, they say, oh, we don't eat their meat. Because they don't go to the church. Like if they go to the church, they are greeting Allah now. SubhanAllah. These guys are only arrogant. So Allah Ta'ala, as you hear, said in Surah Al-Furqan, describing the believers, that they, the believers, never witness the false. Never witness the false. What is the false? Mujahid, I don't want to explain it to you or interpretate it to you, no. I bring you only the statement of the predecessors. Not even from our time. I'm not going to bring you, have you heard in the khutbah Ibn Baz Ibn Azameen? No. I did not bring you no speech from no one of today. I just brought you people you and I agree about. And I doubt if any of any madhahib or any schools or any institutes of Islam of today can say that we don't accept from Ibn Abbas, from the like. Then from who is going to accept? If he doesn't accept from Ibn Abbas and his students, then from who? Mujahid ibn Jabr, one of the major students of Ibn Abbas, he said in the tafsir, and this is in tafsir ibn Kathir, by the way. It is in tafsir ibn Kathir, tafsir ibn Jarir, tafsir Imam Qurtubi. Unless they are from three different locations. Ibn Kathir from Damascus, and Qurtubi from Qurtuba, where it is staying today. So, they did not tell each other about this. But Allah Ta'ala made every one of them to understand the proper understanding of this issue. Mujahid said, Al-Zuhr here is the Eid of the Mushrikeen, or the Eid of the Mushrikeen, the celebration of the Mushrikeen, the religious celebration of the Mushrikeen. One may say, okay, but this is Mushrikeen and these are people of sculpture. I say, who told you that people of sculpture are Muwahideen? Because Mushrikeen is the opposite of Muwahideen. In Arabic, and I claim that I am Arab. My mother is from Yemen and my father is from Southern Taif. I claim that I am Arab. Mushrikeen, if you go to all the Arabic dictionaries, the only opposite word for Mushrik is Muwahid. So if the Ahlul Kitab are not Mushrikeen, what they are? Are they Muwahideen? It's impossible. It is impossible. And what is the definition of shirk? It is to sit up a partner with Allah, you worship Allah through him, or you worship him besides Allah. What do the Christians do? They worship the cross. They worship the cross. They worship Isa alayhi salam. They worship their popes. They worship their desire. Many things. They have too many gods that they worship. But they yet still are not Mushrikeen, subhanAllah. How come? They are Mushrikeen. The like of the statement of Mujahid ibn Jabr, Al-Rabi' ibn Anas, one of the predecessor scholars, said so, the same statement. The judge Abu Ya'la al-Musri, Al-Dahhak ibn Makhlad al-Nabi, may Allah be pleased with them all. Muhammad ibn Sirin, the well-known scholar, of the Tabi'in time. May Allah bestow His wide mercy upon him. He said, Az-Zur is the Sha'anin. Sha'anin, I really forgot to look for the meaning of it in English, but there is a word for it. It's a Eid that comes before that the Christians do on the Sunday just before the Eid of forgiveness. Forgiving. There is a Eid that the Christians celebrate before the Eid of forgiving. On the first Sunday before, on the Sunday just before the Eid of forgiveness. And they celebrate on their own way. They bring the palm tree leaves and they carry it. And they claim that this is the day in which Isa alayhi salam entered Bayt al-Maqdis, which they, the Jew, call it today Jerusalem. And this is not from me. It is not from somebody of this time. It is from Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, who was living in Damascus where the Christians, and you know, he knows about them. And he's one of the best people who studied their case and refuted them in his book Iqtida Sirat al-Mustaqim, as well as his student Ibn Qayyim. So just for attending with no any intention to authenticate their Eid or their religion, without this intention, just attending, maybe because he's workmate, friend, neighbor, father-in-law, maybe whatsoever, maybe cousin, maybe father, maybe mother, who are Christians, just attending with them this time of Eid, just attending with them, is witnessing the force. Because Allah Ta'ala said, when describing the believers, that they never witness the false. And you know that this is false. This is not from the religion that Allah Subh'anaHu Wa Ta'ala wants His slaves to worship Him with. At least since Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was sent. It is only before that, but at least we can definitely say, from the time Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was sent until the day of resurrection, no one had the right to worship Allah by any other religion but Islam. It is not racism or because he's Arab and the Prophet is Arab. No. It's not like that. We the Muslims are not type of people, because our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us, when he said to his close kinship on the mountain of As-Safa, don't let the people come to me on the day of resurrection by their good deeds, and you come to me by your kinship, I'm not going to benefit you. And he said that even to his own daughter, Fatima, when she was just young at that day. But he warned everyone, there is no differences between people, between humans, except with their deeds. Whoever do good deeds is the one close to Allah, close to His Messenger. And that's why he said about Salman al-Farisi, who is not Arab, he said about him, Salmanu minna al-Bayt. Salman is one of us, the people of the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he gave Bilal, who is from Ethiopia and was a slave, he gave him high rank that he didn't give it to no one. To no one. He made him the one to call the Adhan over the top roof of the Kaaba. And he was the main Muazzin of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whether in his in Medina, in his mosque, or even in the journeys when he travels. And Umar radiallahu anhu, when he was the Khalifa, or before that? Before that. Abu Bakr Siddiq gave freedom to Bilal. He bought him from Umayyad ibn Khalaf and he freed him. Umar, whenever he used to see Bilal, he says, Ahlan bi Sayyidina, welcome our master. I was freed by our master, then Abu Bakr. One day, Abu Dharr al Ghifari, who's Arab, is from Ghifar, had an argument with Bilal, and then he said to him, Yabna Sawda, oh, the son of the black woman. There is nothing much in this book, and definitely Abu Dharr never ever said it just for racism. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, you are a man who still have some jahiliyyah. And he's a great companion. Immediately Abu Dharr lied down to his side and he put his cheek to the floor and he said to Bilal, come and put your foot over my neck. This is what I deserve because of what I said to one of the great and noble Muslims. When Umar ibn Khattab was the Khalifa, he came to Mecca and his governor came out of Mecca to Isfahan for his reception. Umar was wondering, how you leave Mecca? How? You leave Mecca like that? He said, no, I brought Ibn Adza on behalf of me there, acting on my position. He said, who's Ibn Adza? He said, he's one of our slaves who we freed him. He said, what? You put a slave as an emir for Mecca, for people of Quraysh. It's something very, very much. It's too big for people of Mecca to accept. This governor of Mecca said to him, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, he is somebody who memorizes the Quran and knows about the Sunnah. He said, then stop. As soon as he said this, let me tell you what I hear from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah will raise some people by this Quran, by this book, and will descend some others. And that's why Abdullah bin Mas'ud, who was a shibr, very small in size, very thin, when Abu Jahl was hurt in Badr, he climbed over his chest and he got his sword. Abu Jahl looked at him and he said, you have climbed a high place, O shibr. But Ibn Mas'ud cut his throat. This is how Islam treats his people. It's not based on what race you are from. No, it is what iman you have. It is what iman you have. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made his slave Zayd ibn Haritha to marry his cousin. His direct cousin Zainab bint Jahsh. So her mother is the aunt of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He made him to marry her. He is the one who offered her to him. Not as those Munafiqeen say that he wanted her for himself, that's why he told Zayd to divorce her. No, that's not correct. He told Zayd not to divorce her. When Zayd decided to divorce her, he told Zayd not to divorce her. But it came from Allah to divorce her and to the command to Prophet Muhammad to marry her. And look to this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam marries the woman that his slave divorced. No one does that. Only humble people. And it was only, it's not because, oh, he liked the wife of his slave, no, no. This wife of his slave was his cousin. If he wanted her, he could have taken her. And she would be very, very glad to be the wife of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as she did when he married her later. And Allah Ta'ala clarified why Rasulullah Sallallahu married her after Zayd. It is just for people, because the Arabs used to counter something very, very difficult. For a man to marry the divorced woman of his slave, they say it is difficult. How come you are the master, you marry slave or a wife of a slave? So Allah Ta'ala wanted to cancel this type of legislation which is only made by Quraysh. So all these stories show us that Islam didn't come with racism, but it came with equality between the followers of Islam. How close you are to Islam is how much of Islam you have. That's how Islam treats the people. So, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbid us from celebrating or greeting the days of Eid of the Kuffar. As in the hadith of Anas radiallahu ta'ala, which is reported by Imam Abu Dawood, Ahmad al-Nisa'i, with the narration that adheres the condition of Muslim. He sallam said, Rasulullah sallam came to Medina and found the people of Medina celebrating 2 days. And he asked, what are these 2 days? They said, these are days we used to celebrate in the Jahiliyyah time, in the, before Islam. He sallam then said, when Allah Ta'ala replaced them for you with other 2 days that only for you. The day of Fitr, which is the first day after Ramadan, and the day of Eid, which is the 10th of Dhul Hijjah. And he sallam did not agree with those 2 days of the Kuffar, nor that he allowed the Sahaba to join them, or greet them, or celebrate with them. Although it was the habit of the people of Medina all those years before Islam. But Isa forbade it for them. First year he arrived. From the first year he did not delay it. The legislation came to forbid it. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily Allah replaced him for you. And replacement, what does replacement mean? It means you don't go to the thing that is replaced for you. Yani, the thing that was replaced from. So, the Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha given as a replacement. You are not allowed to go to what is been replaced. So you take this new replacement. Now, and in his statement, صلى الله عليه وسلم, خيراً منهما, better than they, better than those 2 days, means that we as Muslims have to find the sufficiency in what Allah Ta'ala extended for us and gave us than what was used during the Jahiliyyah time. And when a man came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, I vowed to slaughter camels by a place called Bawana. And Bawana is a little hill just nearby Yamba, close to the coast. He said, leave another place. He did not go around, he did another place. He asked him, is there any idol being worshipped there? And today we can ask Muslims, is there any grave being worshipped there? Because he sallam said water. And look to this beautiful Arabic language. The word water is more generous than the word sanam. We have sanam, which is the idol. And water is a false deity. That's it. That is the meaning of water. False deity. false god. Yeah, it's not real god, it's not true god, false. Right? Something being worshipped, anything. The desire itself could be wasan. The desire itself could be wasan. A woman could be wasan. Money could be wasan. The money itself could be wasan. When you prefer to go and collect than to go and do what Allah Ta'ala obligated on you. Now, he saw Salam asked him, is there any wasan being, is there any wasan of the awthan, awthan is plural of wasan, of the jahiliyyah being worshipped there? They, all the sahaba who know the area, they said, no, there is nothing like that. He then saw Salam asked, okay, is there any Eid being practiced there? Is it a place where people of the Jahiliyyah used to celebrate their Eid there? They said no. They said no. He then saw Salam said to the man, okay, go and fulfill your void. As there is no fulfillment for a void that contains of a disobedience of Allah, know that for something you void of what you don't own or you can't do. And for example, if someone vowed, if my son passes the exam, I will fly like birds. He can't fly, so he has nothing to do. Some ulama said he just give he feed 10 poor people. And if he says, okay, if my son get cured, I will jump over the 10 floors building. We say, no, you can't do that. Because this, your life is nothing, it is not something that you own. It belongs to Allah, it doesn't belong to you. So you cannot end up your life. And you consider it an obedience. No. So, anyway, the reason we brought the hadith here is that Isa asked the man, is there any Eid being done there? Is there any Eid? So, as if there is any Eid there, Isa would have told him, no, you don't do it. You don't slaughter it there. Now, so we have to, and Isa did not ask him about the intention, by the way, because big question mark built around this intention. Claim that many people say, but our intention, they shave their beard, they say, our intention is not to differ from Rasulullah. They were different from Rasulullah, our intention. They smoke, and they say, oh, our intention. They go and fornicate, and their intention is still good. They drink khamr, but their intention is still good. They kill somebody, but their intention is still good. Subhanallah. When is the intention can be bad? We don't know. We don't know. They celebrate the Mawlid al-Nabi on the 12th of Rabi al-Awwal. And if you say, okay, this is a worship and worship must come through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, oh, our intention is not worship, then what? You're kidding with Rasulullah or what? They do many things, oh, our intention. Man sits with a woman and says, but our heart are pure, mashallah. But the heart of Abu Bakr is not pure, mashallah. But his heart is pure, much purer than Abu Bakr Siddiq. And he shake hands with a woman and say, Akhi, but our hands, alhamdulillah, very pure. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even the bay'ah, he just put a stick over a wall and hold from one side and make the woman hold from the other side. And never touch any woman's hand which is not of maharim. But his heart is more pure than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He can be protected from the fitna, mashallah. Subhanallah. All these are false claims.